He did it all for you. A short 2-week sermon series around this wonderful time of year. We're celebrating Easter next week. He did it all for you. And today is, of course, Palm Sunday. Some 2,000 years ago, when our Savior made his way into the city of Jerusalem to begin his final week on this earth, before he would go to the cross, we enter into the week of passion, the week of suffering, before he would die for the sins of the world. And I have to admit, when I was younger, when I was a kid growing up, I'd hear about Good Friday, and I would begin to think about what all the Savior went through, and I would think to myself, why would he call it Good Friday? It's good for us, so certainly not good for our Lord and Savior. On the day that he was crucified, they deprived him of water and sleep for 24 hours. He was beaten. He was tortured. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head. He was scourged with 39 lashes times 9, the cat of nine tails. They crucified him. They murdered him. What's good about Good Friday? Again, certainly not good for him, but good for us. But what I did not understand then, that I'm beginning to grasp a little bit better, is I didn't understand the benefits of what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross, when he died on the cross for me and for you. The problem is, I didn't understand the benefits that make Good Friday Good Friday, that make Good Friday good news to us, but not to him. So this verse was on my mind this week as I was preparing for this message, and Hebrews chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, or Hebrews chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there. Electronic device, have you get to Scripture, but I want to kind of use this verse and use it as a springboard to get into the message as we talk about some things that our Lord went through and the reason that he went through them. He did it all for you. And we're so thankful for what he did for us. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy..." Now, you know I've got the word joy highlighted, but I wanted to draw a little more attention to it than just highlight it. So I kind of underlined it there for us so that it would kind of stand out just a little bit. Look at this verse and read it. It says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, but now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I'm beginning to try to think, what joy was it in enduring the cross? What joy did he have enduring the cross? What joy did he have despising the shame? Why in the world would Jesus go through all of the suffering that he went through? Surely we'd think there's some other way. Why would he have to go through the pain, the torment, the torture, the humiliating death that he went through? And I think it's because of all the benefits that it would bring to you and to me. I saw an article recently about people in America who had inherited massive fortunes, but in the course of time, they're still living in poverty because someone had forgot to tell them and inform them that they had inherited all of this wealth. So they were not enjoying all of the benefits. They're missing the benefits that they would have from the wealth that they inherited. And I was thinking, if you don't know the benefits of why Jesus died on Good Friday, then you're going to miss the benefits. Now, the benefits have already been paid for. They're there for us to grasp. They're there for us to enjoy because God intended them for us. They're already paid for. Years ago, when Craig and Becca were small and they were little, we took out a life insurance policy on me and on Roberta. And when we took out that life insurance policy, I learned a new term at that particular time that I wasn't real familiar with. And John will be so familiar with this, and I bet he's used this term a million times in his line of business. The term was death benefits. Death benefits. And in the life insurance policy, it said that if I died, or if Roberta died, that our kids would get a certain amount of money. That's called death benefits. It's called death benefits because they would receive it after we died. So what I want us to do this morning is just for a few minutes, I want us to look at some death benefits of Jesus dying on the cross. Because if you don't know the benefits, you can't enjoy the benefits. If you don't know them, you can't enjoy what they have. So Jesus paid for these benefits with His life, and you and I ought to go ahead and enjoy them and collect them because they're already paid for. And I went through Scripture and I discovered that there are dozens of death benefits for the children of God. They're personal benefits to you because of the life that Jesus lived and the death that He died. And they're there for you. They're there for me to enjoy. But I want to give you three death benefits. Not dozens and dozens of them. I want to just give you three today. And if you have your Daystar card and you're ready to take some notes, you can jot these down here in just a moment. I want to give you some death benefits of Jesus going to the cross. And then next week on Easter, I want to give you some life benefits as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ coming back to life. So let me give you the first one, and I want you to write this down. The first death benefit is this, and that is total forgiveness of everything I've ever done wrong. Total forgiveness. One of the death benefits of Jesus dying on the cross is total forgiveness of everything that I've ever, ever, ever done wrong. Even if there were no such thing as heaven, and we certainly believe there is, but even if there wasn't, this, just receiving this benefit is so very important because it'll allow you to have a clear conscience. It'll allow you to be able to go through life without carrying the guilt and the shame and the regret and the remorse of sin that you've experienced. God doesn't want you to carry that around. So one of the death benefits that we have as children of God is this: total forgiveness of everything that we've ever done wrong. How about a hearty amen right there? A death benefit that's afforded to you and to me. I want you to see what Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. And we're going to use this verse at the end of the service as well. We'll come back to it in a bit. But it says this: having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way. And notice this, it's been nailed to the cross. For some of us, that list is long, isn't it? For some of us, that record is long. And Jesus took our guilt, He took our shame, and He nailed it to His cross. Can you imagine getting a phone call this afternoon and somebody says to you that Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, somebody has decided to show you some grace and they have canceled every debt that you have? You'd be celebrating, wouldn't you? You'd be doing your best version of your happy dance. I want to tell you, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's what He's done for me. He's paid every debt that we couldn't pay. He paid for everything that we've ever done wrong, every sin that we've ever committed, every mistake, every weakness, every wickedness, every word, every thought, every action. Total forgiveness is a death benefit that Jesus offers because of His death on the cross. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says this: in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I think that's just a wonderful, wonderful verse that we can cling to today. That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He's given us forgiveness. He's set us free because of God's grace. You notice this here? It's His grace. What is grace? Grace is a gift that God gives to us. Grace is something that you can't earn. It's something that you don't deserve. You can't bargain God for it. You can't bribe God for it. You can't be good enough to receive it. Grace is what God gives us. He gives it to us freely. He gives us this grace. He gives us grace and not what we deserve. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now notice this, he dies on the cross not for his sins. He's the Son of God. He's the perfect Son of God. He has no sin. He committed no sin, but he dies on the cross for our sins. That's why he's dying. He's dying for our sins. So the benefit that we can receive from Jesus' death on the cross is total forgiveness of anything that we've ever done wrong. Here's another death benefit that you can write down this morning, and I'm hoping and hoping and praying that it's a help and a blessing to you, and that is this. The second death benefit is the healing power of Jesus in my life. I know that all of us, every single one of us, all of us have needs in our lives. All of us have needs of different kind of healing in our lives. I'm not just talking about physical healing here at this particular point, because that's not usually the deepest wound, the physical part. Now that hurts, and people deal with it all the time. The deepest wounds are not always physical. The deepest wounds in your life, nobody can see them, because they're hidden deep in your heart. They're hidden deep in the recesses of your life. We can see a handicap. We can see when a back's out of place. We can see when a leg is not working, functioning properly because of a limp. We can see it when people have to wear glasses like I do. The deepest wounds in your life and the deepest wounds in my life, they're hidden. Nobody can see them but God. So he sent Jesus not only to forgive us of our sins, but he sent Jesus to heal our deepest wounds. 1 Peter says this, chapter 2, verse 24, he who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, what in the world does that mean when the Bible says that I'm healed and that you're healed by His stripes? Well, Peter was actually quoting another guy from the Old Testament, an Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah. Matter of fact, John just prayed this prayer just a few moments ago. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, Isaiah the prophet writes, but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. There it is again. Why is he talking about, what's he talking about here, being healed? It's called redemptive suffering. It's when you suffer on behalf of someone else. It's when you suffer on behalf of someone else. And when you take pain or you prevent someone else from going through that, that's called redemptive suffering. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us when He died on the cross. So let's talk about that just for a moment. When God made the world, when He made the world, there wasn't any suffering in the world. There wasn't any sadness in the world. There was no sorrow in the world. There was no sin as yet in the world. In the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect paradise. And it was because of a lack of sin. It was a perfect environment with no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no sadness. But when we rebelled against God, when man rebelled against God, basically turned our nose up against God and said, God, I think I know what's better for my life than you know what's good for me. And we turned our nose up against God. And as a result of that, we broke the system. Everything is broken on this planet today. Nothing on this planet works perfectly. Everything, the weather's broken. The economy's broken. The political systems are broken. I don't know if you notice this or not, but our bodies are broken. You notice, because bodies start to ache a little bit and they start to hurt a little bit. It doesn't work the way that it once did. Your bodies are broken. Sometimes relationships are broken. Dreams are broken. Hearts are broken. You ever had a broken heart before? Sure, we've all experienced that. Hearts are broken, minds are broken, finances are broken. Every area that you can think about is broken. There's nothing perfect in the world anymore. But I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, God's holy Son, came to this earth and He started to restore what was broken. That means He can restore your life. He can restore the brokenness in your life. He can heal the things in your life that may be broken. He wants to restore creation again. He wants to restore broken relationships. He wants to restore minds. He wants to restore bodies. He wants to restore hearts. He cares about it all. And I'm so thankful for that, because He's come to give the deep healing that we so desperately need. You know, you can read the Bible, but you can read about Jesus in the Bible, and what you cannot get over is the fact that everywhere Jesus went, Jesus was touching people. Jesus was healing people. You can't read about Jesus without reading about healing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now I want you to look at this just for a second. "And healing every sickness and every disease among the people that He came in contact with." 1/3 of the ministry of Jesus Christ was concerned with health care, because God is not just concerned about our soul and getting us to heaven. He cares about your mind. He cares about your body as well. Christianity is a preaching, teaching, and healing faith. You can go to any country in this world, and the first school, the first hospitals that were organized there were started by Christian missionaries, because Christianity is a teaching, a preaching, and a healing faith. God says, "I don't just care about your soul. I care about your soul. Yes, I care about that very deeply, but I also want you to be whole. So I'm offering some healing in places where you need healing." But we know that not everything is healed on this earth right now. Some of the greatest saints of God have lived with chronic illness and chronic pain throughout their lives. Not every prayer gets answered on this side of heaven. You know that, and I know that. I have prayed for people to get well, and they've gotten well. I've prayed for people to be healed, and they've been healed. I've prayed for others, and they've not. But I can assure you this. Based on the good character of our God, the ones that were not answered here are answered in eternity. God says time after time after time in the Bible, He said, "I just want you to ask." It's His job to decide which ones He's going to answer here or in eternity. But rest assured, they will be answered ultimately. He's promised to help us in our times of need. So one of the death benefits is the power that Jesus gives, the healing that Jesus offers. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses." And I highlighted that. And I had a little spell in my office as I was preparing this message. I couldn't hardly get past this, because it just hit me again that our God helps us in our weakness. Those moments you feel so weak, so vulnerable, those moments, God, the Spirit helps us. "For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." God helps us in our weakness. Now let me ask you something this morning. Where do you need His help? And let's just go ahead and make it very personal. Where do you need His healing today? Some may need emotional healing. You've got some hurts, and you've got some memories that you wish were not there, but they're there, and you have to deal with them day after day and time after time, and you can't let them go, and they just kind of consume you. Some of you need some emotional healing today. You've got some damaged emotions, and you need healing there. Some may need financial healing because of some decisions that have been made. You've gotten yourself in a little bit of a spot of bother, a little bit of a situation where the pressure, the financial pressure, is just absolutely struggling or smuggling you and stifling you, and you need some financial healing. Some of you may need relational healing. You're in a conflict right now. Some broken relationships. Maybe it's a relationship with a friend. Maybe it's a relationship even with a spouse. You need some healing as far as relationships are concerned. Some may need mental healing. The secret truth is you've got some thoughts now that are starting to scare you, and you think, am I losing my mind? And it's starting to bother you just a little bit, and you need some mental healing. Some may need some physical healing. Your body's a little bit broken right now, not working just exactly right. But I'm going to tell you, most of all, every one of us needs some spiritual healing. The healing between our relationship with us and God. Why do we run from Him? Why do we run from Him instead of running to Him? Why do we not trust Him when He wants us to trust Him? Why do we not follow Him when He wants us to follow? We need some spiritual healing. And the thing that I've discovered as a pastor over these 35 years of ministry and talking with people and tons of people about different areas where they need some healing, where they need some help, I don't think anything really could surprise me right now. I think maybe I've kind of heard about all of it. There's not been a whole lot to surprise me, but I kind of noticed that all of these things go together. These things that we've talked about, the emotional, the relational, the physical, the financial, the spiritual, all of these things kind of go together. But let me tell you what I have discovered. In all of these years of ministry, what I have discovered in talking to so many people and dealing with so many people, I think the healthiest emotion that people have is an attitude of gratitude. For those who have an attitude of gratitude, they seem like they're just a little bit more well-rounded. And I really, 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 really want to encourage you to understand that an attitude of gratitude will do more for your life. Being grateful is going to do more for you than you could ever, ever imagine. So develop an attitude of gratitude is my plea to you today. See where it takes you. I'm just telling you, wherever you need healing, our God has promised to give you some help in that area. All right, let's look at the last one. All right, the third and final area, not the dozens that are recorded for us in Scripture, but the third and final death benefit that I want to mention to you this morning is this. And that's the power to break free from controlling forces. Now, that's a big one. And I want you to understand how important it is in your life that you have the power to break free with the help of God from controlling forces. The truth is, we don't realize how much we allow ourselves to be controlled by things and or by people. All kinds of things control us. Sometimes our moods control us. We'll do things because our mood, because we want to. Or we won't do things because we don't want to. Our moods control us. Moods are not always right. You know that, don't you? You could develop a bad mood as a result of a bad piece of pizza. You know what I mean? I mean, it can happen. So, but sometimes we allow moods to control us. Sometimes we allow the media to control us. Sometimes we allow the approval of others to control us. Sometimes we allow the past to control us. Listen, if I could give you any help and any advice today is this. Your past is just that. It's in the past. Leave it there. Let it go. Matter of fact, here's a little something you can jot down on your Daystar card. And that is this. You can learn from the past, but you can't live in the past. You can't do it. It'll kill you. You can learn from it, but you can't live in the past. Sometimes we let fear control us. Sometimes we let memories control us. Sometimes we let culture control us. Sometimes we let the weather control us. Sometimes we let money control us. Sometimes we let people who have hurt us in the past control us. Sometimes we let our whole nature, that self-centered nature that we have, control us. Now, I want you to listen to me and I want you to jot these down. You've got two competing forces going at you right now. And that is, number one, human nature. Two competing forces coming at you right now. Human nature. You're going to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. I always do what's best for you. Don't worry about what anybody else. Human nature. All right, then you've got the other, which is God's Spirit. As a believer, you've got God's Spirit in you that is saying it's not all about you, but it's about others. And there is this constant warring, this constant battle that's going on in your life. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about this. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he's given a personal testimony here in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. And he says this, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no more I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Can anybody identify with that? Sure, we all can. But there's a third death benefit. And that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you the power to break free from those things that control you. He doesn't just want to forgive you of your sin. He wants you to overcome the power of that sin in your life. We do stuff all the time that we begin to ask ourselves, why did I do that? Or we say something all the time and we say, why did I say that? And we try to change, but we don't have the power to change. We need more than just willpower. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 6 and verses 6 and following, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." Jot this down. We don't just need willpower to overcome things. We need God's power to overcome those controlling forces in our lives. See, one of the benefits that we receive as a child of God is we receive His Spirit. We receive His power. We receive His Word. We receive His promises. We receive other believers coming alongside of us and helping us. You're not on your own. As a matter of fact, Scripture says this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, His Spirit, lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Now, how in the world does that happen? How does total forgiveness come about? How does deep healing take place? How do I get freedom from the things that control me? It happens in the atmosphere of faith. Miracles happen in the atmosphere of faith. We do it all by faith. Now, I've just mentioned three of the dozens and dozens of death benefits, and the question we need to ask now at this point is this: who are these death benefits for? Come on, Michael. Who are these death benefits for? Scripture tells us this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whoever," and I highlighted that because that just means anybody, "for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And those who call on the name of the Lord and those who are saved, they're eligible to receive the death benefits that are available to God's children. So when I was thinking about Good Friday, and not a good day for our Lord, but a good day for us because of some of the death benefits that we receive, total forgiveness, deep healing, and then the power to break free from controlling forces in my life. How do we get these? We get adopted into the family of God. That contract, that insurance policy that gives death benefits, it's going to my kids and to my grandkids. It's because they're in my family, right? The death benefits that God gives, He gives to His children. So if you're a child of God, you can rejoice this morning in the death benefits that have been made available, that are available for you right now. And it's a wonderful promise that you don't have to walk through this life alone. You don't have to walk through this life on your own or in your own energy. God gives you a supernatural power to live and honor Him. To break free from those controlling forces. To allow that deep healing to take place. And to give total forgiveness of any wrong that we've ever done. So let's pray about that.